We're very pleased to have Brother and Sister Zabowski with us from LaSalle, Illinois. Glad to have Brother Charles service at this time. It's been a few years since we've had the pleasure of having him on our convention program, so we're very grateful this year that we have this privilege. He's going to speak to us this morning on the subject entitled, In That Day, Brother Zabowski.
Thank you, Brother Joseph.
Dear brethren, truly it's good to be here. Brother and Sister Grigalunas, Sister Marie and I have been planning this trip for weeks. And here we are, and it's a blessing to see all of these faces that we've known for so many years, and a lot of the new friends, and it's so good to be with brethren, to just kind of separate yourselves away from the world and think on the things that are pleasing to the Lord. We want to talk about that day. And what an important day that is. The scriptures speak of it so many times, from the Old into the New Testament. The brethren speak about it in their homes and in their classes, about that day, a very important day. A day that God will destroy wickedness and evil. And isn't that what we've been waiting for all of our lives, as long as we've known this wonderful truth? We see from the scriptures, way back there in the Garden of Eden, the Lord said that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and that's the day everyone is waiting for. The prophets, the apostles, those prophets of old, and the apostles spoke of that particular day. They said it would be gross darkness, cloudiness, troubles everywhere. Hearts failing from the things that are to come upon the earth. We read about those things. We wonder about them. We pray for the time that this will happen, and after that, the sunshine will come out, where the Sun of Righteousness shall reign. So many in the world fear and talk about a doomsday that will end this earth. I heard one minister say that the earth will be burned into ashes, and then a new earth will come up. And I don't see where they get any good out of it. But here, when we speak of that day, that order to pass away, and in its place, righteousness, love for one another. Wouldn't that be a day? To some, it seems to be a terrible day, but to us, as the brother mentioned on the platform before, a wonderful day. In that day, even our Lord Jesus spoke of it, and we find that in Luke 17 and 26. It says, as it was in the day of Noah, that is the last day of that age, as it was in that day, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. In our time, brethren, in the Lord's parousia, in the second presence of the Lord, so shall it be, the scriptures tell us. And then going farther, the Lord said, they did eat, they drank, they married wives. Well, that was all right. So do people of the world today. They were given in marriage until that day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Didn't leave a little bit on there. They destroyed all wickedness and all that were bad. Only the immediate family of Noah were saved. They in that day didn't know that the end of that order was to come unexpectedly. But Noah knew. Noah was informed of that day. Of course, he wondered a lot, building this ark, how long it would take him. But the rest of the world knew not when this day would come. So also, brethren, in this second advent of the Lord, The church also knows. And the rest of the world of mankind go on blindly. The scriptures tell us about this one more thing that we shouldn't pass up. That in Genesis 6, 1 and 4, not only was wickedness at that particular time, but it tells us that giants were on the earth in those days. When the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, these became the mighty ones, men of renown. How about our last days? Do we see any of that? We certainly do. We see many giants. We see industrial giants. We see political giants. Religious giants. Oh my, what giants there is. Corporation and business giants. Union giants. We see them in our days. As in the day of Noah, their giants in that day truly strangled humanity. So, the giants of our day, of this day, is also strangling humanity. You see the parallel that comes in, and Jesus told us to think about those things. And from all indications, my brethren, we are living in that day, that one day, whether it be just the start of it or near the end of it, I would rather say that it was near the end of that day from the things that are going on in this world. In Timothy, probably I won't mention all the things that will happen. This, know also, Wayman says, be assured, not know also, but you be assured that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Brethren, aren't we looking forward to that? To those perilous days? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And they are, the politicians and all of these giants are truly lovers. And not only those, even the little fellows are the same way. The world is that way. They're proud. They're blasphemers. Truly they're blasphemers. They're disobedient to parents. Did you ever see any time or hear of any time where children would be as disobedient to parents as they are today? We've never seen the time. Neither has anyone else. Here and there. But this covers the entire globe that people are in that shape. Read the papers, listen to radio, television, and you'll see what goes on. They're unholy. They're without natural affection. Surely they can put on the fact that they love someone. But they haven't got that natural way where it really shows. Go into a group of the Lord's people and just to clasp their hands and see the smile on their face. You know that they mean it. They love you. And now today, what have we got? We've got truth breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. You know, I looked that word up and I was wondering just exactly what I could get out of the word, that particular word. I knew what it meant, but in one thing, in the dictionary it says, lacking in restraint, that we know, especially over the sexual appetite. Brethren, it's terrible to listen to the news today of the things that are going on. Just too bad. They're traitors. They're heady, high-minded people. We see all around us. Lovers of pleasure. They spend their last penny on pleasure. And they do not look forward to another day. Having a form of godliness. You see that? But denying the power thereof. And then the apostle says another thing, warns us, from such turn away. Do not go in with them. Turn away from them. We're entering this great day of God's wrath upon the world, and nearer and closer and louder is that noise of battle. Much louder every day. Zephaniah in 1:15-18 tells us, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness. We find waste everywhere we turn, in government, in organizations, in anything. It's nothing but waste. And desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Everywhere you turn, there's trouble. Nowhere is there rest. It's all unrest. People are high strung, as they would say. They don't know what to do anymore. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. And then more than that. It said, the Lord said, I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. You know, sometimes we wonder. Everyone has two eyes, two ears, and you would think that they would, especially in this time, accept the nice things, the kingdom that you speak about, where mankind will be blessed, yet they will not accept it. I talked to a relative of mine one time, and he's a very devout Catholic. Very. And we got to talking about the scriptures, and I said, the word of God says so and so and so and so. He says, who wrote the words? Well, you admit man wrote the words. Then I said, but they were God's servants. They were inspired by God to speak these things. And he couldn't accept it. Then when we pointed out certain things about their belief, he says, I don't believe in that either. So you see, they're all mixed up. He doesn't believe in that either, but still he'll go to church every Sunday and he'll try to put up an argument, but when you get him cornered, then he doesn't believe in anything. That's the way men are today. The world is today. This entire order is exactly the same. Our civil powers, our politicians, all of them in the same boat. They don't know what they're talking about, and they don't know what to expect. Because the scriptures say that neither their silver nor their gold, which means their wealth that they have accumulated, neither their silver nor gold will be able to deliver them in that day of the Lord's wrath. Then in James 5, 1-4, go ye rich men, listen to me, weep and howl. Now go back to that rich. I don't really think that it only means those that have a lot of money, have gold, have silver, are really rich. We find a lot of people that have that are also rich in power. Many are rich in power. It was just like these men of renown in the days of Noah. They were very, very rich in power. They were really rich in popularity. They were really rich in influence, in prestige. They were rich in that, and that's, we find these people today. Why would a politician spend $1 million or $2 million or $3 or $4 million for a $50,000 job a year, $75,000 job a year? But can you imagine the riches and the power that he gets? And it's, James tells us, howl ye rich men for your miseries that shall come upon you. Rotherham says your hardships. And that's what's coming upon them. They're complaining. Your riches is corrupt, it says. Your wealth is rotted. And it really is, brethren. You can think of gold not being able to rust or anything like that, but it can corrupt, but they can't even use it themselves. It's lost its value, and it's losing its value day after day, day after day. Your gold and silver is cankered and corroded, and the rust thereof shall be a witness unto you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire, bite into your flesh like fire would bite into a flesh. Ye have heaped your treasures together for the last days. They don't know that. That's what they're doing. Another translation says, you have piled up your wealth in the age that is near to close. You're piling that up. And really, brethren, when you think of it, what a foolish thing that is. Will they be able to use all of this wealth and all of this power in the kingdom of God? No, it'll be of no value, no value whatsoever. This order, this worldly order, these systems, they know, they realize the fact that they are in pretty bad shape sometimes. Can you picture, truly, a nation that is trillions of dollars in debt? Well, maybe I won't say, that's maybe a little exaggerating, trillions, but a trillion, let's just make it a trillion. Loaning out money, millions, to people, to countries, to systems that they know that they will never get back. They know they'll never get that back, yet they're doing it. They are on the verge of bankruptcy, of failure. And the only thing that they're trying to do is prop one another up. You know what it is to prop one up, doesn't it? You've seen that happen? You see a man that's drunk walking down the street and another man trying to hold him up? It's propping him up, and this is what's happening to the world today. And we are living in these days. This is that particular day that the scriptures have been talking about for thousands of years. They know that if one of those fall, the entire system will fall. And that is the reason why they have to prop one another up. Because they're in the same boat. No, I was just thinking, I said they're in the same boat. I was thinking of Jesus and what Brother Alex said. Said of Jesus sleeping in the boat and the apostles sitting there and the storm coming up, and they got all excited and wake Jesus up. You know, they knew, just like we were in that safe boat. We know what the Lord has warned us of those things. But all of those people that are not in that boat, that are in another boat, this boat that I'm talking about, how do you think they feel? They don't know anything about it, and it's just something fierce, something awful to it. You know, scriptures talk about garments. And this garment that they are trying to patch, they cannot patch anymore. The true nature is beginning to show. Their garments, or these coverings, are beyond repair. There is no way that they can repair them. It is said of Satan in sheep's clothing. He's going around, the world thinks he's doing good. They don't realize that under that sheep's skin, there's a wolf. But the time has come when that sheep's clothing is wearing out. It's not the real sheep. And the wolf is starting to show. See those terrible eyes and the teeth of what they're trying to do to this world today. They're wineskins. They're all leaking, and they're leaking badly, and they can't stop those wineskins from leaking. The old systems are leaking, and they're all worn out. No way of fixing them. The spirit of error, or the spirit of erroneous doctrines, is spilling out. We can see that, brethren. We can see that today in our time. The mighty men weep and howl bitterly. Why not? Their worldly empires are crumbling, whether they know it or not. Because in Zephaniah 1:18, the Lord is rising up to the prey. He says, "For my determination is to gather the nations that I might pour upon them mine indignation, even my fierce anger." Can you picture our Heavenly Father angry? But he's going to pour that anger out on them. He's not angry with his people. He never was. He's a loving God. He loves all. But they've gone so far, the world, these systems, these orders, are gone so far that something has got to be poured out upon them. Righteous indignation, as we would say. For all the earth, this entire system or order, shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, or will be devoured with the power of my zeal, is the word. And we see, brethren, that this entire sphere, this entire world, as we would say, it truly is divided into two camps. They seem to be at one another's throats, and yet they are kind of working together. We sell them wheat, they give us something else. Not us, I don't mean this, but I mean like the United States or any of the other countries that are with the United States. In Revelation 6:19, tells us that the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? No one can stand that mighty power of our God, who is on our side. And another translation says, who can escape? They can dig all the tunnels in the mountains they want. They can hide themselves where they think that they are safe, yet they are not. Wealthy men are piling their gold and their silver into in other countries with the thought of one country going bankrupt, that they'll have a little gold or something in another country. It won't do them any good, because our God is a mighty God. There's nobody on earth and or in heaven that can fool our Heavenly Father. The ideas of this world are very misty and indefinite. We can see great changes coming about in an effort to save themselves, not only in the political, but in the religious systems. In all of the systems, they seem to be trying to get together, and still they do not know what it's all about. Our presidents, our rulers can't get along with their own cabinets. Do you see the trouble that they're in? And here we are, my brethren, in peace and quiet, rejoicing in these wonderful things, because we know that beyond this is sunshine, is light, where everyone will be able to see. All departments of the social order are weeping and shrieking and howling for greater cooperation between them, trying to close ranks for the last stand. And this is the day, that day they're living in, the last day. Governments, we see, instead of considering the status of the poor, and we feel for them. The poor are in terrible shape in this last day. They're hungry. In a wealthy country, in a country where God has furnished the rain and the sunshine, all they have to do is plant and have food for the animals and for themselves. Yet is that their way of thinking? No, it's that great wealth that they want to accumulate. They're arming themselves, clamoring for more money for armament. They're doing everything that they can. The blind order of today is doing everything that they can to get out of this mess, but their eyes are blinded and they can't see, and they'll never get out of it because they don't look to the true source for help. Not one of the parts of the systems of this world are really and truly looking to God for help. Nothing, my brother, can change that condition until the rule of man is set aside, destroyed, completely removed from this earth, and replaced with the rule of Christ and His church. A righteous system, a righteous order. You know, you read some of the Old Testament writings, and these things that have happened back way back there, as in the day of Amos, when he wrote in Amos 2, 6 and 7. I just thinking that when I read that scripture, it says, they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They grind the heads of the poor into the earth. Did you ever see that anywhere before? It's happening in our days, brethren. They trust the humble out of their ways. Did they ever accept, like I said before, when you try to explain to them the truth, the coming of the kingdom, the rich blessings that will be upon them, the life everlasting here upon the earth, where neighbor will get along with neighbor, brother with brother, happiness, praising the Lord. They can't see it that way. It doesn't look good to them. They're blind, my brethren. And truly, do they accept any of us? The Lord said in the scripture, do you remember? If ye are the humble of this world, He has chosen the humble, the meek, the lowly, in such a time as this. You know, you'd wonder sometime, how can anyone be humble or meek in this day and age? It's hard, dear brethren. That is the reason why the Lord says this is a fight against the great enemy, the world. This is what we're talking about now, this world. Our own flesh, and we've got to battle, and also that wise and mighty serpent, the devil. And truly, the heads of the poor are ground down into the dirt, and they're hollering, crying out for help and aid. We thought that, well, this is nothing. This has happened in Africa, in India, many years. But, brethren, it's happening in the entire world, in this sphere, in this earth of ours. Everywhere you turn, what happens to the poor? Their heads are ground into the earth. You know this thing that came out not too long ago, where there's another class of people today? A different type of a poor. There used to be a rich, a kind of a middle class, and a poor. But now there is a rich, and it's cutting down on the middle class. The middle class is becoming poor, and then the other one is really and truly the one that's ground into the dust. They're hungry. They have no shelter. Not only in Africa or India, but South America, even in the United States. Men, women are walking the streets, living in cardboard boxes. The last days, this is what's going to happen. This is what was prophesied by the men of old, by the apostles, and by the Lord Himself. And this is the thing that strengthened us. The knowledge that He that is with us and keeps us, and we hold on to His hand, will never let us go. And we can be assured that if we hang on to that hand, we will not slip into this strange order that is all about us. Greed, selfishness is rampant. Even with their great buildup of armament, we can see they can accomplish nothing. We go back to Amos again. Amos 2, 14 through 16. The flight shall not save the swift. The strong man shall not save himself. The archer shall not stand his ground. The swift of foot shall not be saved, nor the horseman escape. On the day, the bravest of the warrior shall be stripped of his arms, and what? And run. So, let us look at the world today. They're building up of these atomic bombs. One airplane that they've made, or the design that they've made, one day is not any good the next day, so they'll pile in more money to make another airplane. Here we are speaking in the days where they saw weapons, in the military buildup of their days. But let us look at our day of a military buildup. All of these bombs, and sometimes it even makes one shiver when you think of it, that they claim that it would just destroy the entire earth and everything that is on it. They have so many of these bombs, these powerful weapons. And to think, my brethren, that the Lord said that they will be stripped of all of these things, absolutely stripped, and run, leave those things behind and take off. Where are they going to run to? They have nowhere to run, my brethren. Nowhere at all. So you see, we are truly, when you think of it, living in the days of God's wrath. And it has fallen upon all of the nations. We have examples of what happened of God's wrath to the nations that were opposed to his people, Israel. In many instances, the warriors of Israel didn't have to use arms at all. They didn't have to fight. They just stood still. Just stood still, my brethren, just as we must fight and war against an enemy. But it is not a carnal battle. It is by faith that we stand, and it's the Lord's battle, and he'll pull us all through, dear friends. Second Chronicles 20:17 says, ye shall not need to fight in this particular battle that's coming in our day. Set yourselves and stand. Stand how? Stand still. That's some fight, isn't it? Just standing still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. The Lord will be with you. That, my brethren, is guaranteed. Their stockpiling will not bring peace, as they say. It will do them no good. Leaders of starving nations today are not asking the larger, greater nations for food, clothing that they truly need. They themselves ask for armament. But that won't do them any good, because they'll have to flee and leave it all. Since man's fall in the Garden of Eden, with the help of that great adversary, that serpent, men's hearts have been hardened, brethren, into stone. Their spirit, their whole existence seems to lean towards wickedness, towards unrighteousness. And as long as those hearts will be stone-like, in that condition, hate, greed, selfishness, wars, murders, rapes will keep going on. But we are guaranteed one thing, that there will be none of that in the kingdom. It's promised to the people, if they understand or if they don't understand, that he has promised man a heart of flesh and a new spirit. Not the spirit of the world that we see today, but a new spirit. Oh, perhaps that new spirit is what we have today. Another spirit. That's why the Lord calls us new creatures. There's a new spirit within us. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them a heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. So, my brethren, where should our interests be? In this kingdom. To be very, very careful that we only do the things that are pleasing in the sight. Because in Amos again we go, therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time. Meaning that they will be careful of their interests, in the interests of truth, in the interests of the Spirit of God. Because that's the thing that will hold us together. And that's the thing that will keep us from evil. Seeking good, the scriptures say, and not evil, that ye may live, and so that the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you. And so you see, dear friends, how important it is for us to live according to the way our Heavenly Father instructs us, to the way our Lord taught us, that we should love one another, that we should even show the world that by loving one another, we are Christ's. We belong to Christ. We belong to a new order. And no wonder Paul said, rejoice. But he didn't stop there. He meant get enthused about this thing. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. And I rejoice, my brethren, and I thank you, and I hope the Lord blesses you forevermore. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Zabowski. Certainly we are living in a grand and awful time, and I wouldn't be surprised, but what, there are some very special lessons that the Lord may have for each of us as we approach the consummation of our hopes under these conditions in which we live. As our dear brother suggested, we live under the protection of the Lord in these times, and yet we want to be very conscious of the Lord's leading, his guiding hand in our affairs in connection with the world about us, that these lessons might be learned in the closing hours of our experience here upon this side of the veil. And certainly the silver lining of the kingdom, the beautiful hopes of the kingdom, lie just before us. We rejoice in that.